This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Nothing to me says romance like looking for condoms and Hennessy.
She's the crazy one of the season.
And the drunk.
He calls her Naggy.
His shirt's open like a Colombian drug lord.
He does not like pizza.
Can we talk about the big, wide open fish mouth?
He's like a walking success poster.
Here we go, Bachelor Nation. This is the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Christine Lee with Katie Pallotta, our usual suspects. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
And Ryan Jones. Hello, Ryan.
I'm all in for the win.
Oh, please, please don't remind me. So normally on this type of episode, the finalists are separated and the family is flown to some location, I guess so that there's no weird interaction among the contestants like we saw last night.
Yep.
But this time around, since Rachel's sister is very, very pregnant and can't fly, everyone went to Dallas. And it was quite the interesting episode. The L word was dropped, sometimes in unusual places. Yeah. But all in all, I don't know, Katie, want to kick things off?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Peter was, well, is shaky about actually getting down on one knee and proposing at the end of this. Somehow now Eric and Brian know, and starting off the episode, they're like, why would she want someone that doesn't even know if he wants to be engaged at the end of this? And so I'm sure that was a little producer. Oh, by the way.
Yeah, because I can't imagine Rachel spending her time with the other two saying, oh, by the way.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't Rachel.
Well, and it came to a head a little bit when Brian kind of got under Peter's skin to let him know that I will be asking for her parents' permission, even though you didn't. I know I'm getting ahead of the episode a little bit, but kind of to underscore what you're talking about.
Yeah, you need to have a little bit of drama at this point.
Of course.
When there's not too many dramatic people left.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty clear that you couldn't find people on the opposite sides of the spectrum than Peter and Brian. We've talked about how Brian is sort of the smooth talker from Miami, and Peter's the laid-back guy from the Midwest, and that has been so apparent these last couple episodes because Brian is laying it on, and Peter's been seemingly very open about the fact that, hey, listen, I only want to get engaged once and we get to the end of this and I'm not feeling that. I'm not going to just get engaged for the sake of getting engaged. And that has sort of been the only thing they've had to disagree about, even though they're sort of saying the same thing, just sort of in different ways.
There's a time frame differential that the two of them can't agree on. It seems like that they both agree that engagement leads to marriage, but how long between engagement and marriage, from that's what I could figure the issue is, that time frame from engagement to marriage.
Yeah.
Is that what you guys
Which is funny because we learned, you know, when Peter's date with, not date, but meeting Rachel's family, that his parents dated for 1 month and then got married and are together for 36 years.
Well, maybe they argue about that all the time.
Maybe.
If only we had dated longer, you know, maybe
it could be
some reason to want to date a little bit longer, because that might be the big argument his parents have every other weekend.
And it's funny because whilst the one thing that Rachel sort of has been struggling with, her mother thought it was great. oh, this is so refreshing. This is, I agree 100%. You know, if you're not ready, you're not ready. But that led us to believe that, oh, well, when the other two ask for permission, and because Rachel's mother specifically said, oh, well, I can speak for Rachel's father, who would you know, really appreciate the fact that, you know, you're going to wait. I thought she was going to go a little harder at the other two when they asked for permission. But instead, she erred on the side of, well, I trust my daughter. So it wasn't a so much, sure, of course, you have our permission. It was more, I'm going to trust my daughter.
Yeah, but did you see the faces she was giving Brian? Like, she clearly was not feeling Brian.
Not at all.
The whole family saw right through it.
Exactly. But talk about laid back Peter. They're just sitting at the table, getting to know him, and he drops, I'm falling in love with you or her. And everyone's, oh, and Rachel's like, yeah, that's the first time I'm hearing it, too.
So, I mean, I'm surprised, too.
Right? That's how laid back and chill he is. And I think Rachel's mom is onto something where that whole thing is refreshing, where he's not trying to be this slick Miami guy and, you know.
Charmer,
yeah, because everyone's a little bit mistrustful of that.
Yeah, and this idea that with three guys still left, that you would ask someone's family, or in this case, mother instead of father, because he wasn't on the show, but ask for their daughter's hand in marriage just seems, I know we're in a very weird spot, this show as a whole, but that just seems so weird to me. And that's why, even though it ultimately didn't end up, I thought, if you remember, Ben didn't ask, and that sort of became an issue, but he said, no, I want to ask when it's time. And he waited until he sent JoJo home, and it was just Lauren, and then made the phone call and asked for her hand, which, call me old-fashioned. Maybe you should only ask for someone's hand in marriage when they're not dating two other people.
Yeah. Yeah, and that whole thing was edited to make it look like he was calling another girl at the last minute. And
right.
Of course, typical Bachelor editing job. It was a big nothing. It was calling the dad to ask for her hand in marriage.
Yeah, and I mean, it could be different because this is The Bachelorette and not The Bachelor, because they might not know when they get out of that limo to go propose if there's going to be another guy, if they're the one, or if there's going to be another guy to follow that's going to do the propose.
Because of cultural standards in our society where the man asks the woman, I guess.
Right.
Or the way this show portrays it.
Yeah, like the men still propose.
Right.
So, you know, Peter could go up to Rachel and propose and not know if the other two guys have already been sent home,
exactly.
Or if they're, you know,
yeah, the Bachelor's
still in the
a little bit different in that aspect because they're controlling all aspects of the playing field, whereas the Bachelorette is controlling it, but also kind of in the dark a little bit more than the Bachelor.
Yeah,
is.
No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I get that. So, how about once we're down to the final two, assuming he is one of those final two?
Who, Peter?
Yeah. Maybe. Would it be okay for him to call and ask then? Because at least he knows he's one of the final two.
Of course.
This is what I'm saying. It just, this whole idea that the only drama between these two is, well, you're not going to propose no matter what. I'm here to get engaged. And if we're not engaged, then why am I here? I'm not here to get a boyfriend. But if we get engaged, well, you know, we can just sort of throw it up in the air and whatever.
Yeah.
Well, what's the difference between those two things?
The difference is time. You know,
but it's not,
you want to
though,
be engaged for 7 years, do you want to be married in 6 months?
But even she's even sort of waffled on that, because he was talking about how if we get engaged, that means, well, we pick a date and we get married. She says, well, I don't see it that way.
I know.
Then how do you see it? I mean, I think they're saying the same thing, but because they're coming from totally different directions, they think that they're saying completely different things.
Yeah,
right.
I agree. It pretty much is the same struggle that they're both having.
Because she's fine with waiting. She just wants to wait while being engaged.
Right.
And he's fine with waiting so that they can lead to get engaged.
When they were having
here?
That back and forth, I was just like, the same as you guys. You guys are saying the same thing. Where's the argument here?
Yeah, it's all getting, mm-hmm. This whole thing is just all semantics. And That's why eventually I think that it's not going to end up mattering. I think he's the clear choice here. They get along. There's chemistry. They seem to have a lot in common. Both of their friends' groups like each other.
The family likes
the family likes each other. I mean, everything here seems to fit, whereas there's been, with both Eric and Brian, we've seen a little bit of those bumps in the road, if not from the friends, then from the family side on both sides. Mm-hmm. So unless it's a total upset, I don't know how...
Well, in true Bachelor fashion, they've edited this to lead us to believe that there is a problem between Rachel and Peter, you know, because of this non-argument. And, you know, so they're trying to make you believe that they're going to fall apart. And we all know that that's not the case. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
We got the big to be continued.
Of course.
At the end of this episode.
Of course.
Although we know he's going to end up in the fantasy suite. I mean, obviously. This idea that that's where you make the cutoff for, and we get to a final, we have a final three, and she gets to a final three that she picks down to two. So it's not like she's just going to say, yeah, never mind, go home now. Let's start the next episode.
My thinking is, you guys both have that sexy little gap in your teeth. Don't you want to find out what else matches up?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, if everything is just, like, aligning, everything fits perfectly, you got to take it
all
the way.
The answer is in your teeth. Right there.
What are you talking about, guys? Aren't they just going to sit and talk? I don't...
Okay, so Peter's visit went really well. I mean, I don't think we can say anything bad. He was warm, he was pleasant, he was kind. Rachel's sister really liked him. You could tell that everyone just gelled.
I mean, they went shopping for baby clothes together. You know, the other two, she almost felt the need to build up a proper date before they went. And I thought that was interesting, that with him, hey, we're just going to go pick up some baby clothes.
You mean like an everyday couple kind of thing to do?
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas with the other two, we're going to the top of a building, or we're going to brunch, or...
We're working too hard.
Yeah. It seemed like she was trying to do more with the other two. And I don't know if that's just sort of like, okay, let's see if there's more chemistry there or what. But with Peter, it was just, hey, we're going shopping.
An everyday thing.
And then they get there and he's playing with the kid, and it, you know, they're even trying to get the kid to say, no, you're going to say winner. I mean...
Yeah, that was cute.
But they always have kids in this episode, I think, don't they? I mean, Ben was playing with little kids.
Right, but that's the thing is,
you got to test it out.
You didn't see the other two having that level of engagement. Now, you know, we can talk about editing and all that, but it just seemed that it was way more of a... production to try to build up the other two, where this was just sort of went.
Yeah.
And again, other than the issue with the engagement, which again her mother was fine with and seemingly the family was fine with, even with the questioning of it, the other two, can we talk about Brian? Because
yeah, you know, because there's really nothing more to talk about with Peter and Peter's date. But yes, I mean, do you want to go to Brian and circle back to Eric? Because Brian, I mean, just the look on Rachel's mom's face was like, yeah. Are you kidding me?
It didn't go too well.
No.
Didn't go the best it could have gone.
And they led it perfectly with, again, going back to the hotel and having the guys talk. Peter being very good. Yeah, I've made it no secret that I don't like him. And yes. Then right into the date where the family made it pretty clear they didn't like him.
Yeah.
Poor Brian. No one likes Brian right now.
And he's trying, like you said, trying to charm the pants off of everyone he meets.
And they called her family called him out on it for being too charming and
too slick.
Yeah.
You have an answer for everything. And it just that worries me is what the sister was saying. And I don't know that he was necessarily trying to charm the family so much as I think he's trying to charm
the show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think he is full on campaigning to be the Bachelor.
He could be a good Bachelor. He could be one of those dislikable Bachelors. We haven't had one in a while.
I don't know that he's dislikable, if that's a word. I don't know that he's easy to hate. I just think he's a little shystery.
Yeah.
But not in the worst way, if that makes any sense.
Well, there's a girl for him.
Listen, he's from South Beach, so they can have all kinds of fun on the beach, and he's seemingly age-wise ready to settle down. A good-looking guy. Whether you want to say good family or not, he's got a strong family bond.
The drama of
it
the
was
mom.
An audition.
Yes, it was. But how about the audition that Rachel's mom threw at him with what? With if you had to choose, you know.
And he tried to play it off. Oh no, I said the wife, and then Rachel trusted. He already answered, but he delayed. Well, what if it couldn't be fixed?
Yeah.
Your wife or your mother. Pause. Well, she'll be my wife then. So, which means the mother.
It wasn't a good and clear answer.
To be fair, when you're dating someone and you get hit with that question, your whole life you've spent with your parents, and you've spent, I don't know, let's just say 6 months with someone, and you're maybe engaged, like to call it soon. Like someone says, your parents are your new little fiance right here. I mean, a lot of us would kind of hesitate. That's my mom. A lot of us would.
Yeah.
But for the show's sake, he should have instantly said Rachel.
Yeah. He shouldn't have paused that.
It's a tough spot because, A, that should never, ever be a choice.
Of course not.
And so if you're ever in a relationship where that is a choice, there are much bigger issues because neither one should be trying to put that ultimatum out there.
Well, that's
there.
A gotcha question. That's like when you're having an argument with your spouse and you're like, okay, the kids or me. Make a choice right now. Yeah. We're both going to, you know, something's going to happen and the kids are me. Or if I come back and, you know, something happens to me, you're going to get a new wife? Like, you can't ask those kinds of questions because there's no right answer.
Yeah, it's a bit of a loaded question. And he didn't quite handle it well because whether you're telling the truth or not, you're right. He should have just immediately said, oh, of course, Rachel was always going to be my number one.
Right.
I mean, we're building this bond and we're.
And then he tells his mom that she's number one.
Of course. Well, because you can't tell that his mother
you
anything.
You can't tell your mom that she's number two.
Exactly. So whether you're a mama's boy or not.
You got to give the right answer to the right person.
Correct.
Right.
And so you want to call that whatever you want. I call that being smart and making sure you keep the two most important women in your life happy.
Right.
And knowing or hoping that it would never come to that because
that
neither should
that
make
question.
That an issue.
Hopefully they'll never ask that question together and they're sitting there on the couch. Pick one.
Yeah. Well, and Brian could be worried because it sounds like that might have been what happened the first time around or the last time around when his relationship ended.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because should it ever be the point where like, oh, well, it ended because of my mother or her issue with my mother.
And that makes a lot of sense because she is a very protective, high maintenance helicopter mom, however you want to phrase it, overbearing.
He's my whole life.
He's my whole That very
Yikes.
Well could have happened, something that simple where she's like, it's me or it's her.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
so she could also be a very interesting character on The Bachelor.
Right. You're right.
So I think he's painting that. I think the family is helping out with that. And if he's not the last one standing here, I think he's probably the leader in the clubhouse to be the Bachelor.
I mean, who else is it going to be? Not Dean. We're kind of done with Dean.
Well, because Dean especially is going to Paradise. You're not going to take someone from Paradise to be unless it's Nick,
Super
who we're familiar
Nick.
With. You're not going to generally pick someone from Paradise to go and be your Bachelor.
Well, so we kind of skipped over Eric. When Eric went to meet the family, he was like he was when Rachel went to meet his family. He was a nervous wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, she's like, you can lean on me. I'm here. It's good. It's okay.
Yeah.
Don't panic.
Yeah. And it had been, I think they said 7 years since he went home, you know, with a girl. And it was, you know, during college, during Thanksgiving. So,
and did you catch the other one? He said he only did that twice. To meet someone's family, and the other was senior prom.
Yeah.
So you're really only going there because it's senior prom? So he's
right.
only met someone he's been dating. He's only met family twice.
Yeah.
And each time was on kind of a celebration occasion where you really don't have time to sit down and talk to that person because for prom, you're in and you're out the door.
Yeah.
And for Thanksgiving, you have 50 cousins around, and who's going to be able to get to know this person? It's just a madhouse if it's anything like our house at Thanksgiving
right.
or anyone else's house. Mm-hmm. Like, so.
And I understand he had a complicated life growing up. He's talked about that very openly.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that led to part of it. But just like Dean, who after his mother passed away, his home life changed significantly, and he clearly was not comfortable with necessarily showing people that. And I'm sure Eric had a lot of that same stuff, but that's a little odd, isn't it? Only meeting the family of two people?
I think so.
Well, I mean, my husband never brought anyone home, and he comes from a big Greek family, and you just don't do it until it's the one.
Really?
Yeah. His parents had heard that he had girlfriends over the years and heard that, and maybe had seen him when they went to an event, that like a school event or whatever, but he never actively brought anyone home to meet his parents until he was ready to propose. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, guess it maybe it's not that.
And I never introduced my parents to anyone either.
Really?
Because I never really.
Maybe it's not that.
I just
that
had
uncommon.
One night stand.
I know. Jeez. Okay.
You guys, I only had one night stands. I never met.
Well, and that would be odd to introduce your parents. You're like, yeah, here's what's your name again? Sorry, I didn't catch that.
I didn't catch that last night.
You don't want to meet my parents, do you? All right, get out.
I just would figure at some point you just, oh, we're gonna go watch the game, or we're gonna go do a barbecue. I don't know.
I never did because they just weren't. I knew it wasn't serious, so what's the point?
Wow, okay.
That's fair.
Absolutely.
Because my dad is an overbearing Air Force colonel who is like a great Santini who would rip the guy's guts out. So what's the point? I mean, to scare him half to death.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of what's the point, so Eric also does the asking for hand in marriage, like we were talking about. And when, even before her mother had it, it was sort of while she was answering it. It almost got thrown away. It got lost in the shuffle a little bit. But he said, it's not going to change anything, which is a weird thing to throw in. And maybe he was nervous. But so basically you're saying, yeah, I'm going to propose either way, but I'm just going to ask.
Yeah. And well, and to add to that, he raised eyebrows when he said he'd never been in love. And he'd only dated an 8 month continuous stretch. He'd only dated someone for 8 months. That's the longest, right?
Well, I think that was just his last relationship.
Okay.
His age probably
could
have
been one,
the longest.
It might have been his
longest. But his age, I guess, may be lengthy. I don't know. But yeah, to just say it won't make a difference, just kind of toss it aside.
Which thankfully, I think Rachel's mother missed.
She definitely missed that.
Because she gave her blessing, obviously.
Well, again, sort of half give it. Like, I trust my daughter is not the same as you absolutely have our permission to have her hand in marriage. A little bit different.
So why was her dad not there? Where do you guys is? I mean, he's a judge. And
I think it's the whole federal, his whole job. And I think it's just
beneath
probably
him?
I don't know beneath him, but I think it might just be. I thought it was like security.
He's a federal judge?
Yes, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I think my assumption was that he just didn't want to participate.
Because I remember on The Bachelor, they said that he wasn't able to because of his career.
I mean, the Real Housewives of one of them, it's the one with Erica Jane, Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Her son is a police officer, and he's never seen on camera, and he lives with her. And it's by her choice, because for his own safety.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't want him on camera. He has a real job with life and death, and criminals and people who would want to harm her or son. So she doesn't want him on camera. And maybe the same for, like you said, like, he really doesn't want to be on camera. He deals with criminals all day long. It's not a good idea.
So I took it as a safety.
Well, according to Mr. Harrison himself, he said with his job and what he does, he just can't.
Right.
He was a big part of the show, but off camera. It kind of changed things. We had to do some things in Dallas and kind of switch things around a little bit because he plays such a big part in her life and family such a big part. We wanted to include that even if we couldn't show some of it on television. And it's interesting because Brian was sort of defending himself and Katie posted the picture on the Bachelor Podcast Instagram about, because they never answered where Brian went when he got up from the table. And he claimed in his hashtag that he was going to speak with her father. And That would make sense because he just awkwardly gets up after being asked a question, and then they never address it. It's all just, oh, great, good to see you.
Yeah, so that would make sense.
That would make sense, but a little explanation would have been nice because it seemed like he was
still,
just bailing on the table.
Yeah, but still, that was a weird,
super awkward.
Get up and...
So apparently because he's a district judge in Texas with a chamber in Dallas, he has a strict no TV, no public appearances clause.
Okay. Well, then there's your answer.
So the internet isn't always right, but that's what the internet says.
I mean, and that would gel with other reality shows that kind of had similar situations going on. So, yeah, Eric at this point, I thought he was the weakest link until they went to Spain. And the card where he reads about, you know, the fantasy suite, he's definitely...
always excelled when it's just the two of them.
Yeah, and...
That's when he... Because in the beginning, he's sort of... doesn't really necessarily take it seriously, and why can't I get I don't have a connection because we never spend time alone. And then he was almost sort of right, because as soon as they spent time alone, you saw a different guy.
Yeah.
And he's always succeeded there. So in Spain, they get there, and he's just the guy we've seen when he gets the time with her, and he's fun, and he's not nervous. They clearly have a lot of chemistry. And the scene with the opening the note was perfect, because he's like, that's it. I'm all in to win. Like, let's get going.
And I feel like after he got that, you know, I'm in love with you out, that just that one L word, I feel like he had a lot more confidence in everything.
Yeah, because you're sitting there. That's on your mind night and day. How do I say it? When do I say it? At what point do I make the reveal?
Right, you're thinking about that all day long. So once, you know, it finally happened and he was reading the fantasy suite card, like, there was just a switch in him and just more confident, and it was good. It was a good...
Yeah, well, especially right before that, he did have the one stumble of the date where... They're just talking about the last trip, and I just felt like we had the chemistry, and like in the hot tub. It's like, well, is that physical or is that emotional? He's like, oh no, that was emotional chemistry.
Yeah, she's like, why does it always go back to the hot tub?
Like, if we're in a hot tub, how much emotional chemistry are we really having? Yeah.
Well, you never know.
But clearly, that led to other chemistry, because we opened that note right up.
And like you said, he's in it to win it, which kind of, I mean, I don't know, it kind of was like a, not to say it was creep me out, but it was felt like a weird thing to say.
Yeah, at that moment, right? It was a little weird, because...
Like, she's not a prize.
Yeah, he was like making it it is a competition in a way, but
it was.
You probably could have left that out at that moment.
Yeah.
Peter and Rachel meet up at a vineyard, dry, dusty vineyard, and her little short shorts, and they wrap themselves around each other, and, you know, they decide to go to a winery, which, if you're in Rioja, Spain, you have to go try the wine, of course.
Right.
Ryan, that's right up your alley.
Absolutely. And I've actually, you know, I've spent a lot of time on vineyards, and so at first when both of them are like, oh, I've never been to a vineyard before, I'm like, oh, come on, who's never been to a vineyard? And then I was like, oh my God, I sound like such a douche. So I thought about it, and I said, oh yeah, because it's not as if I spent my life on vineyards. So yeah, it would make sense, especially Rachel's, you know, a bit younger than me. So first time in a vineyard, and then they even get the best part. They get a private tour of, I mean, if you've ever been in any of these caves, and I've never been in any as nice as the one they went in, it's so great to look at all the wine that's being kept down there. And they got their own little locker, which
that's
is
cool.
Super cool. And he has the key now, so whether they're together or not, he can always go back to Spain. And
it's an expensive glass of wine to go back and pick up.
Yeah.
But it's probably worth it.
Absolutely.
And then they got to, you know, squish the grapes. And,
yeah.
You know, she has pretty good... Because she said she can't, you know, Spanish she's a little iffy with, but I thought she did a pretty good job.
Too.
You know, besides like misplacing a number here or there,
Well, and don't forget, in Spain, they put the th in there instead of the so. So chaoses is chaoses. So it becomes a little bit more difficult to understand if you learn Spanish in one way.
I mean, I had trouble just reading the subtitles, and she's picking stuff up just off him speaking. I was like,
I thought she did really
well. I already knew you were smarter than me, but okay, this is just showing it a little bit more.
Keep rubbing it in.
I know, right?
What did you think of the vineyard tour, Katie?
I thought it was good. I mean, she, you know, you have the foreshadowing of her saying, no idea how tonight will go, and then there's thunder and, like, the foreshadowing. But I thought it went well, and then when they've moved to, you know, the one-on-one dinner part, that's where everything
falls
apart.
That's
where they got into their engagement.
Versus marriage.
Conversation.
Like, yeah, engagement leads to marriage. Yes, we both agree, but we're going to
the non-issue issue.
Exactly. And the to be continued.
Yes.
And you almost thought they were going to avoid it again because they start to talk and then this rando child shows up, like children of the vines standing there, and then
to bring them to the grapes.
I guess we got to go. And so, yeah, they go to the grapes and, like, oh, I guess we're really not going to talk about this again.
Somebody's got to bend.
Yes. And so finally they had it out. And listen, you need a spot to end it before we, you know, finally wrap this up in a couple weeks, but he's going forward. You know, they're going to figure it out. Like, he might not be the last man standing, but we know that he's going to at least go further. So you would assume that that means a fantasy suite. I guess you don't need the fantasy suite to advance, but you would think he's going to get the fantasy suite.
I mean, it wasn't really an argument because we just talked about how it's not, they think it's an issue, but in reality, it's not an issue because they're talking about the same things. But they were both being, like, very, they were still being considerate of each other. Like,
right.
She, like, he was saying, I don't want to change your belief or for you to give up on what you're believing, but this is my way of seeing it. And she kind of didn't exactly, she was speechless kind of that whole conversation after that point. But, you know, at least he wasn't like, this is my way, like, that's how it is. Like, he was trying to be considerate of
diplomatic.
Her beliefs.
It was a very civil, quote-unquote, argument.
Very
like,
civil.
Well, I understand that. I absolutely understand that.
It was too much agreeing.
I see your point, but what I'm trying to say is, like, wow.
Exactly.
I mean, you even argue well. What is happening?
When are you going to start throwing wine bottles at each other? That's what I want to see.
I know. I need some Real Housewives.
And so even if they're going to sort of, let's say they go walk at dinner, say, you know, we're going to agree to disagree on this for now, because we still have another couple weeks or whatever, however long they spend it. Maybe it's just a week, but we have a week to spend in Spain. We'll agree to disagree. Let's go to the fantasy suite, because if there's anything that's going to move him along in his process of where he is, I think it's going to be the fantasy suite.
That's what I'm talking about, the gap tooth matchup.
So I'm saying, you know what? For now, we'll disagree. Let's talk about this again when we see each other again next time. Let's go to the fantasy suite.
Hell,
and then I bet he wakes up and says, yep, I'm in it to win
it
now, too.
Everyone's in it to win it.
So it's to be continued. I did not watch the coming attractions. Did you guys? I turned it off.
I did. They didn't show too much. It was next week's Mental All.
So our boy Matt will be back.
Yeah, so they didn't show
really
a lot. They just kind of
show her crying, her trying to decide which guy to send home next.
Peter getting upset, Rachel crying.
Her standing ready to get, proposed to.
The usual.
But,
and then the foot out of the limo because we don't know who it's
right.
Okay.
And and
typical.
If you measure it, though, and we take average sizes and do like that Amelia Earhart photo that's going around the internet.
All three guys are pretty big dudes, so I think it'd be more difficult this time around.
Difficult than we realize.
Yeah.
All right, so we have to sit through the Mental All, and then we'll have the decision.
Yep. So, 2 weeks is the finale.
All right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Winding down.
Predictions? Peter and Eric.
I agree.
Yeah?
I can see that.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think Brian's got to go.
He
needs to get ready to be the Bachelor, like Ryan said.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a little bit of a turnoff for her when she saw her family's reactions.
I agree.
Yeah, because they even, I don't know if it was in the coming attractions or in this episode, and she was like, my family's opinions of Brian really matter.
It was pretty universal across the board. I mean, Other yeah. than the kid walking up and like kicking him in the shins, pretty much everything you saw was negative. Like, that's the yeah. only thing missing from, like, oh, yeah, he had a bad time there.
Yeah. Versus Peter, everything was great.
And even Eric. I mean, Eric had some tough questions about having never been in love and,
right.
and again, only two people meeting, you know, meeting families and all that. But I even thought he handled that better than the tough questions that Brian was given. And no one was questioning Eric about, oh, you have answers for everything, don't you? He just seemed more genuine.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
So even though they were asking him tough questions, I don't think it felt badgering. I felt Brian, it felt badgering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you're right. He'll make a great bachelor, especially with his mom involved. So
a lot of drama, baby.
Men yep. tell all next time, and then we'll get to it the episode after that. We're getting down to the wire. This has been the Bachelor Podcast. This has been a good time. Good time, you guys. I'll go get a little Rioja wine. I'm Christine Lee. Katie Pallotta, thank you.
Thank you.
And Ryan Jones. Gracias.
We are all in for the win.
Ugh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
If you're an experienced pet owner, you already know that having a pet is 25% belly rubs, 25% yelling, drop it, and 50% groaning at the bill from every pet visit, which is why Lemonade Pet Insurance is tailor-made for your pet and can save you up to 90% on vet bills. It can help cover checkups, emergencies, diagnostics, basically all the stuff that makes your bank account get nervous. Claims are filed super easily through the Lemonade app and half get settled instantly. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet and they'll help cover the vet bill for whatever your pet swallowed after you yelled, drop it.